The late American prophet Edgar Cayce, he used to read auras. As a matter of fact, he was getting into an elevator, saw a whole bunch of people in there, didn't see any auras, scared him. He stepped back. He decided, I'm not going to go on this elevator. I've never seen this before. The door shut. The elevator cable snapped. Down they all went. Edgar Cayce was pretty good at that, too. In a moment, we'll talk about auras on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Barbara Martin and Dimitri Moraitis as we talk this hour about auras. We'll get to phone calls with you a little bit later on tonight as well. And Barbara, are you the one who's going to read my aura? Is it, or it's going to be Dimitri?
No, Dimitri doesn't read the auras. I do.
You do that. Tell me how you have been able to do that.
Well, I started to see the aura from age 3. And when I was 11 years old, I met a hermetic scientist who had charts, and so I knew what each energy meant, and from then on, it just developed.
What is an aura?
An aura is something that emanates, it's an essence that emanates around all living things. It's energy. In fact, the chair you're sitting in, the table, the lamp, everything has an aura, including humans, of course. Animals, plants.
Does a person with a lot of energy generally have a bigger aura than somebody else, or a different color?
They say that the man Jesus' aura was a block away from, some have stronger than others.
His was bright, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Dimitri, do you get into auras at all?
Well, I've been training with Barbara for 26 years, so I've been definitely working with the aura for many, many years right now.
But you don't read them.
No, that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Would you like to?
Absolutely.
It takes time, I guess.
Yeah.
It's hard to develop that. I have had classes where I taught the aura, and nobody came out being able to do it.
Well, most people don't realize you don't actually train to see the aura. The aura is a byproduct of your evolution.
Mm-hmm.
So it opens up after you've developed other parts of your nature.
Now, you're going to read my aura, Barbara, but don't you have to see me?
No, there are certain things about you that I can't see, and usually, that's done in person, but I can tune into you even without seeing you.
All right, let's get into some of the questions in a moment, but do a little aura reading, I guess.
You want it now?
Yeah. Fire away.
Okay. All right, you have a gold, which is with you. It's a primary ray, which is with you your lifetime. That doesn't change. You have silver in your mental body, which is intelligence. The gold that I mentioned is wisdom. You have lemon yellow in the mental body, which is powers of concentration. You have emerald green in your hermetic center, which is harmony and balance. You have spiritual tone or blue in your throat center. You have carnation red, which is vitality and energy in your hermetic, in the chest area. You have turquoise, which is prosperity, in the same hermetic. You have orange, which is motivation and enthusiasm. Now, I downrayed the orange to me before we started and the carnation red. You have deep rose pink, which is in the emotional body, about where your navel is. You have white light, which surrounds you. And you have pretty good health lines. Have you had any physical problems?
Nope, not in a long time.
No, because that's why I see silvery white lines on both sides of your body, meaning you have no health problems. You have powder blue above your head, which is inspiration and ideas. You have purple under your feet, meaning you've overcome obstacles, and you've had several obstacles to overcome, is what I sense. You have a color division, which has all the energies, and you seem to draw a lot on the green, which is balance and harmony. You have a spiritual division above your head, which is blue, pink, green, yellow, purple, brown, orange, which is above your head, but you're not tapping any of that.
Is it unusual to have so many different colors?
No, no, that's what they are. No, that's not unusual.
I always thought an aura was just one color.
Oh, no. Oh, heavens, no. Because, like, for instance, your thinking level comes through with intelligence, and that's the silver I mentioned before, the lemon-yellow parts of concentration. Each energy means something else. So we're not just one energy. We're many energies, which is good. It's better.
So overall, what would you say?
About your aura?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a very good aura. I'm not pulling any skeletons out of your closet, notice.
Well, what's a bad aura?
Well, if you have black, if you have dark brown, if you have gray, that's bad. That's not good.
Does that mean you're sickly or something, or you don't have energy?
Well, if you have gray, you could have fear or illness, which wasn't your case. You had silvery white lines. If you have brown, you're petty and cruel. If you have black, you're hateful. So the darker energies are contrary to your brighter energies.
Why has it taken Dimitri so long and he still can't read auras?
Because it's not an easy thing to do. See, I was born with that ability, meaning that I had developed it in a past life and brought it over to this life and, developed it even more. Yeah, I have a class on aura, and I stopped teaching it because nobody there came out being able to read the aura.
Well, you also basically have to be almost like an enlightened status to be able to see
it. It's not an easy thing to do, my darling.
Can you feel it? You know, if you were close by someone, can you feel it?
Oh, yes, you can feel it. Well,
radiating?
Like, you mentioned earlier you go to a party, and you sense whether you like that person right away or you dislike that person.
Right.
That's the aura.
And everybody else feels it too.
Oh, yes. You know, I think that the aura is a beautiful thing because it tells you a lot. It tells you a great deal. I also do karmic readings, which means I go into your past lives. And those past lives tell you, for instance, if you know somebody in that life that's in this life. It's very interesting, the karma charts.
What's the photography that takes auras? Kirlian?
Yes.
Is that it? How does that work?
Well, apparently the electrical apparatus of all the things that it has is able to photograph and bring it forward. Kirlian photography is a recent thing. And not as much is known about it.
What does it mean to have an aura?
Well, it means you're alive. And I think you mentioned before that those people that went into the elevator did not have an aura.
They didn't have one. He didn't see anything.
Yeah, if you don't have an aura, then you're dead. Definitely going to die. Everyone has an aura.
And Dimitri, what about animals?
They have auras too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not as pronounced. Now, I read in Seattle, Washington, I read some dogs, and they had beautiful auras, but, you know, like a lot of deep rose pink, which is love, and a few other things. But animals have auras, sure, everything.
Which means also that the animal is evolving too.
Yeah.
They're going through an evolution. So when you have a pet and you're loving that pet, it's not just about the cuddles and hugs. That pet is actually absorbing spiritual energy, and you're actually helping its evolution.
And it's eventually going to go out of this place, and it too can eventually become human.
Can you heal your body if you know what your aura is?
Absolutely. Healing comes in with the orange red flame is something that purifies, and the blue-white fire is the life force. And we do a lot of healings. We just came back from Columbus, Ohio, and we did about 6-7 healings for people.
Would you say this is all tied together, Dimitri? Auras, reincarnation,
Oh, it's all
karma.
Part of the study of metaphysics. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The ancients, put it all in a package. I mean, not a package, but it's all part of the process of evolution. Basically, you're forging your spiritual metal in your aura. So there are kind of three types of auras. There's the mixed aura, which is kind of most of us, meaning there's some enlightened energies and unenlightened energies there. Then if you really take the wrong turn in life, you can actually get the devolved aura, which is the aura of kind of it's a degrading kind of an energy field. And if you really hit the mark, you can eventually develop the enlightened aura. So that's what we're all aiming towards, is to get that enlightened aura.
Well, I think you have the book that has illustrations in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's so right now, everything that we're thinking is radiating energy in our aura. Everything we're feeling is radiating energy in our aura.
Right.
And the aura doesn't lie, you know. So if I'm, you know, I can put a face on, you know, for either other people or even myself. But, you know, if it's in your aura, that's what's going on, you know. So, and fortunately, the aura changes. Just like you were asking about how can you change your karma, it's in the same way. Every good word, thought, act, and deed is adding to your aura. Now, she was talking about your color division, which is the character trait. So she was actually complimenting you there, saying that you have been working on your character nature because it was bright.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting, you have the emerald green, which shows a steadiness and a balance. So here you're doing interviews where you're kind of, you know, balancing different things. So you're a good mediator. You would be a good person to go to if there was like two people were having a fight and try and figure out what's the best thing to do.
And then I get punched by being
George,
in the middle,
where,
right?
Where do you live, George?
I live all over the place. None of your business.
No, there's a reason I'm asking you. Do you live in L.A. area?
I live all over the place.
Okay. Well, I was going to give you a free karma chart. A karma reading.
Why, were you going to come over to my house?
Well, yeah, if you want that.
No, nobody knows where I live.
You can come to my house.
No, I'm busy.
Anyway, it's interesting because I go into 10 lifetimes.
10?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so, and by the way, you can change your aura, well, as we said, with every good word, thought, act, and deed, and also through meditation. One of the things that we really encourage is for people to meditate. In other words, meditation is your time to connect with God. And it can even be just 10 minutes a day, but as you make it consistent, you can actually call on certain energies. So let's say, for example, I'm lacking in self-confidence. Well, in the aura, that self-confidence comes through as a golden light. So if there's a lot of gold in my aura, I'm a very dynamic, very confident individual. Well, if I seem to be lacking that gold or that confidence, I can bring in the gold. And if I start kind of acting that way, if I start showing more confidence in my life, it'll become part of my aura and I'll start making the changes. And I'll notice it's easier to do it if I'm calling on the energy that's actually creating it.
Have you been told about this frequency, 528 hertz? That it's, you know, it's a great frequency for meditation. Apparently, it's a universal frequency for healing.
Oh.
I don't know if you two are aware of that or not.
No, but I'm sure there's a physical. Now, even though the aura is not physical, it's a completely spiritual phenomena. It is obviously affecting the spiritual, the physical. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting if they're saying that there's certain physical frequencies that are in harmony with the spiritual ones. That's certainly very possible.
Does it follow the soul, the aura?
Yes. Well, the soul is everything. It all starts with the soul. We are a spark. That is who we are. So the aura is showing how we're using the universal life energy. If I'm very creative, I'm going to attract the creative energies, which interestingly enough come through. Talent shows up as electric blue. And she mentioned you have the powder blue, which was the inspirational flow. So you're writing books, you're doing all these things. Well, they're coming. That inspiration's coming from somewhere,
mm-hmm,
to do that work, and you're obviously responding to that inspiration. But now, if I was more analytical, let's say, or more scientific, I might have a lot of I'll have the silver and the lemon yellow, which are the more mental type energies. So I'll attract energies according to the kind of activities that I'm engaged in.
Does a good person have a different aura from a evil person?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Why don't you tell the story of the Archbishop when you were 4 years old?
Well, he had dark energies.
The Archbishop did?
Yes.
Hmm.
And
that's what you felt, you sensed, you saw?
Yeah, I saw. And there were two like bishops next to him, and they had beautiful energies. So it just depends.
So what did this mean, though, about the Archbishop? I guess we don't know. You had to know him, I guess. Huh?
Well, it means that, you know, he had a command. I mean, people would just fall all over him, but it means that he did not have a good soul.
Well, he had done misdeeds.
Yeah.
And he eventually became patriarch.
Yeah, he became the top.
The top.
Really?
Yeah.
And nobody ever caught on?
No.
Well, they caught on that he wasn't necessarily a good person. Oh, many did see that, but he had already gained so much power by then.
Yeah, he was very powerful.
Well, Barbara's father was a Greek Orthodox priest, so here was them. They were at the inauguration of this cathedral,
and
the Archbishop shows up, and she sees this dark aura, and you're supposed to, you know, at the end of the ceremony, kiss the hand of the officiating.
She wouldn't kiss his hand.
Well, not only would she kiss it, she yelled out to the whole congregation, "He's a monster. He eats children."
Yes. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did, and I got a spanking. Yes, I did.
He's a monster.
Yeah, he eats people, is what I said.
You never know.
But, you know, obviously we think we know that. Station in life does not mean, you know, spiritual advancement.
Well, the children's eyes are different. You know, children see things as they are.
They see the truth, don't they?
Yeah, they see the truth.
What's new at Spiritual Arts?
Well, of course, the book is the new book, Carmen Reincarnation, Unlocking Your 800 Lives to Enlightenment. And with Penguin Tarcher is releasing the book, and it's been a delight. We just came back from a tour in Columbus. We're going to Chicago next week, and we have some wonderful LA events coming up, a big event November 14th at the Sportsman's Lodge. And we have internet classes. We've started these internet classes where you can train.
That's big now, isn't it?
Oh, it's huge. And what's exciting, you know, before we would do all this traveling, we'd meet all these wonderful people, but it wasn't in LA. So it was like, well, I'm sorry, you know, unless you live in LA, you can't take the classes. And but now with the internet, we can. We've got people from Japan and, you know, Israel taking classes, and it's wonderful. It's bringing people together from all over the world.
Yeah, no, it really is remarkable.
Do you have the book?
It is. Yes, we have it.
Here. Oh, good.
And is it possible that through your aura that you can change the destiny of your life? Will your aura be able to do that, or is that karma? Or is that
you can fulfill the destiny of your life. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, you already have a destiny. There's a really interesting part of the aura that's connected to destiny. It's essentially a mark, in a sense, or an energy pattern, shall we say, that's in your aura connected to your destiny. And it's trying to help you, in a sense, fulfill that destiny. So, again, you're attracted to certain career choices and certain places and certain things, because you're trying to fulfill that plan, that you know, it's kind of like you're here on a mission, but it's not mission impossible, mm-hmm. It's mission possible. So as you build up the auric power, you can make this happen. Now, it's interesting. There are two very strong dynamics that are, well, karma too, but a lot of people are having their spiritual awakening, which means that there's a spiritual potential that we are awakening to realize that we really can reach a certain level in these 800 lives, let's say. And we're going to need to reach that potential to fulfill the reason we're on this earth. It's like developing a skill. Before you can become the concert pianist, you have to be really good at the piano, and then you can build that career. So right now, we're kind of developing ourselves spiritually, and we're going to take that gift and use it to fulfill whatever our purpose is on this earth.
Let's talk about evil when we come back and see how this fits into all of this. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour with Barbara and Dimitri, we'll take your phone calls. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about evil. How does that change your aura, your karma? We'll talk about that when we come right back. Dimitri, let me ask you a little bit about evil and how it mixes into karma and auras and everything else we've talked about.
Okay.
It's out there. It's real. We know it is. It festers. It's every, you know, it just permeates throughout everything. How does that affect all this?
Well, I think first of all we need to understand what evil actually is. And it's a perversion of truth is what it basically is. It's a deliberate misuse of spiritual principles for selfish ends. So, you know, there are people that do bad things. We don't necessarily call them evil. But when we talk about something that goes beyond what we consider normal, we head into the realm of the evil. So I think the thing to realize here, there really isn't like a God and a devil. There is the divine, and how close or far we are from that divine oneness and what direction we're going to. You notice a lot of the evil imagery or the satanic imagery, they take certain symbols and they twist them, they turn them upside down, or the swastika that was inverted by the Nazis. These were all kind of like deliberate perverted elements. And unfortunately, you're right, they do exist in the world, and these things are not fantasy, they are real. And you have to be on the alert to them, because now there is something that is said that nothing can enter into your aura unless somewhere you're permitting it to happen.
Do you believe that?
Yes. Yeah. In other words, somewhere through fear, through apprehension, through, we permit some negative energy or disturbing vibration to enter into our aura. And then, because we're not perfect, you know, so this is why a lot of the training is to develop yourself emotionally and mentally, because the more you keep yourself in a good state of mind, the harder it is for some of these lower entity types to kind of have their influence on you. You know, it's part of the challenge. I mean, they say, why do these exist? Well, they're part of the test. They're part of the challenge of life, because they will force us to be stronger, more dynamic, more, it's not only about love, it's also about being strong and standing up for yourself. So if someone's coming at you with a malintent, it's your divine right, in no uncertain terms, to say, you know, cease and desist. So you have to initiate that and show that kind of courage and strength. Now, as far as spiritually, you can do things with your aura to protect it. The golden light is a very protective tool to ward off any kind of malefic energies. Certain things you got to be careful of. A lot of the psychic elements you have to be very careful of, because they can attract the lower entities if you're not careful. But the more you keep yourself in a more enlightened consciousness, again, the less contact point they have to unduly influence you.
And you keep protection around you.
Yeah. Now, Barbara, you've had some experiences in that way. Do you want to?
And what do you mean by that, Barbara? You keep protection around
you. You use the gold light.
Hired guns? What?
No, golden light protects you. You put golden light around you. You be in the bubble of golden light. Gold is very protective.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And by doing that, you can help to. See, what happens is they may project. Now, of course, it depends what evil we're talking about. Is someone acting evil, or someone from the other side that's doing something evil? It happens from both sides of life, and you do have to be on guard to that.
And from time to time, you're going to meet that.
How many evil people are possessed? That it's really not them?
Mostly all of them.
In some form or fashion?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is... Because what will happen is, if you, when you do things like steal or cheat or hurt people, you actually attract these entities.
Mm-hmm.
There was a woman, she was working in England, and she would see a lot of the spirits. And when she would go to, for example, hospitals, and she'd see angelic beings walking into or going into these hotel, these rooms, these hospital rooms, she'd know those people were being helped. But she would also see going by a bar these lowly types saying, hit that person, hurt that person. You know, they're trying to incite lower activities. And when you succumb to that, it's almost like you're inviting them into your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You might as well just say, come on in and let's be buddies.
Right, exactly.
Addictive behavior can create that kind of a situation where people even know, I know this is killing me, you know, but I still keep doing it because you sometimes have attracted these types mm-hmm. of lower energies. And it's, once they're there, it's very hard to get rid of.
Sometimes if people go out and get drunk, they open themselves up to being possessed, don't
absolutely.
They?
Or, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's one thing having a drink and a little bit enjoying yourself, but when you really put on those bingers and you go there, again, you're opening yourself up. Same with heavy drugs. Addictive smoking won't create necessarily evil, and to, you know, but it can create those that want to. There was an interesting story about Arthur Ford, the psychic. He spoke through Ruth Montgomery, and he was trying to say, when I cross over, which he did, I'll tell you about the other side. And at one point, he started to lovingly kind of chastise her. He says, you like to smoke, and I'm going to encourage you to really stop that. Now, I'm going to say something I'm a little ashamed of, but I'm saying it for a reason. You know, I did like to drink, and even though I'm on the other side and I know better, I still sometimes find myself hanging around somebody that's having a heavy binger because I want that sense of intoxication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so bad habits can linger. So really, it's important to work on them now because it not only helps you on this side, it helps you on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Bottom line, if somebody is an enlightened person, treats other people well, I mean, how far ahead of the curve are they here?
Oh, tremendously, tremendously. Because, first of all, they're saying that right now, as challenging as times are, and we all know they are, this is one of the best opportunities to grow spiritually. There's more, as we can grow faster now almost than any other time on Earth. I mean, the fact that we're having a conversation like this is amazing. I mean, not that long ago, these things could only be learned if you were in a mystery school or in an ashram, and here we're talking about it on the radio. It's an amazing time, and it's an opportunity. So really, we should take the ball and run with it, because as you said, by making these leaps and bounds right now, we are way ahead of the game, so that, let's say, the next time we come around, we'll be, light years ahead. The same way, if we're making mistakes, unfortunately, there's more opportunities now to make those mistakes, so it can take us further away. So there's an old expression, this is the separating the tares from the wheat. So this is the time right now to really jump on the spiritual bandwagon. And if you've had that calling, if you've had that awakening, that's not accidental. That's the divine knocking on your door. So definitely answer it and do your best to live the best person you know how to be.
It's important to treat people very nicely, because that's what's going to cause your karma in the future.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. There's no mm-hmm. doubt about that. Some government leaders should learn this, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. We're having, of course, as we know, elections coming up right now. And our leaders are karmic. They're part of the destiny. So even though we're going through the process of election, which we all should do, it really is part of our civic duty for people to vote, to get involved in their communities, because they're participating in the plan. Sometimes we feel, helpless to what's going on.
Yeah.
But the point is, by being active, you're not so helpless. So you're playing a part. So we may complain about our leaders, but ultimately there's a karma involved, good or bad.
Well, we're responsible for who we vote for.
Yeah.
Well, we're responsible for just about everything, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We should take risks. The first key is not to feel like we're a victim in our life. We've already lost the game if we start to play the victim game. What we need to do is say, look, I'm not in control of everything that's happening around me, but I am in control of how I handle what's happening around me. And that's ultimately the measure of the spiritual maturity. We're responsible for our own soul. That's it. So if we do good, then not only are we helping ourselves, we're automatically helping others, and often in ways that we're not even aware of. And it just starts to have this beautiful ripple effect.
Can you have great karma and then a lousy aura, or a great aura and a lousy karma?
No, if you have great karma, your aura is going to be pretty good. If you have lousy karma, then it's not going to be.
Right, unless you're sick.
Well, that's a different story.
Yeah. And that's just one part of the aura, the physical aspects of
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like she looked at your health lines, which are in good shape.
Well, they were very good, yeah.
I hope you can say that next year when you come back, huh?
That would be great. Yeah, by the way, she can actually even see into the... Believe it or not, even the organs of the body have an aura.
Yes.
Because it's a collective.
Barbara, you're getting way too personal now.
True.
Well, let's say the heart and the lungs.
Talking about the liver and the kidneys.
They're gonna hire you and put you at an airport. You know?
Oh, boy. It feels like that already now, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
Can people learn this themselves, or at least get to the point where they get these feelings? I mean, I talk about picking up people's karmas when they're out, but how many people do that? How many people can do that?
You mean tuning into a sensing?
Tuning into somebody, yeah.
Well, I think, like, for example, you're taking the time to do it. I think a lot of people don't even think that way. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not even thinking in terms of that. They're kind of just operating on automatic. But if you stop to kind of think what you're doing, empowering yourself has a tremendous effect. And again, you don't need to see the aura to work with it any more than you need to see your heart to know it's beating.
Right.
Once you start to understand the keys of what is the aura, you can start working with it. Like, for example, if I know I got really angry this morning, I'm probably going to have a little of what's known as the vitiated red, the dirty red energy. And I need to work with that to kind of let it go. If I've been really worried about something and just kind of unremittent, I'm probably going to have some of that gray and maybe the gray cloud.
Well, actually, the anger he's talking about, it could remain in your aura 2 weeks.
Yeah.
One strong outburst.
Well, so. What I have found about this is that you can use this in your everyday life. Not only can you tell whose karma is what or feel auras, but you can be very intuitive and perceptive in business,
absolutely.
In just about in relationships, in just about anything.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the whole key.
Mm-hmm.
Through your intuition, we do open the mystical part of us. And it's interesting. Many times we don't trust our intuition. We keep thinking the intellect is the way to go.
Well, I was just going to say that, Dimitri. The biggest mistake people make is they don't act on their intuition.
Right.
They let it go. And then what do they always say? Gosh, I should have.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Because intuition is God knowing. So it's going to be accurate.
Right. Now, and the thing is, I know many times people in the classes will ask, well, gee, how do I know if it's intuition? How do I know it's just not myself talking and this and that? And you won't know till you try it.
Here's a perfect example. I had a guest on yesterday who said basically penny stocks aren't worth investing in, right? Well,
okay.
For a week, I've been wanting to buy this stock that's been selling at 5 cents a share.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to throw a couple $1,000 into it and just buy it.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, he's saying, no, you don't want to do that. You don't do that. So, okay, I'm saying to myself, right, maybe this guy knows what he's talking about. Jumped up to 20 cents today.
Oh, gosh.
20
Ouch.
Cents.
Ouch. Ouch.
That's why you don't want to listen.
I could have bought new shoes today.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's the test.
Well, I never...
By the way, he won't be back again.
Well, I never invest in stocks. I never have, anyway. But I told several friends to invest, and they made a lot of money.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're right, we will get easily, sometimes we don't trust ourselves. You know, we think, like you said, oh, this guy's an expert, he must know what he's talking about.
He knows more than I do, he probably does in most cases, but my gut told me, go for it, you're not going to get hurt, have some fun.
I think you have to follow your own thinking on any of that, and even if you fail, it's you.
And that brings up an interesting point that we kind of was the opening chapter of the book called the coin of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a term that's used by the higher. We all have this coin. We use it every day of our life. We can't barter with it. We can't exchange it. But yet it's determining our karma. And basically the coin is one side is the free choice. our freedom to choose which way we want to go. And the other side is the willpower to carry out that choice. And many of us, first of all, deciding the right choice, of course, is a big issue. But sometimes when we do have the right choice, we don't act on it because we don't have the willpower to act on it. And really, will is a very simple thing. We've kind of made it, I don't know, this mysterious thing, but will is just the stabilizer of thought. Yeah. You know, it holds the thought in place until the actual materialization. So if I get this great idea, let's say to write a book or something, you know, for a couple of days you're on a high, and then the high wears off, you know. So, and then, you know, someone may say, oh, that book will never sell. Oh, it'll take too long to write it. All these things can come into the picture. And if I don't have the willpower to say, no, I'm going to stay with this till it's done. I mean, this reincarnation book, you know, it took, even with all the knowledge that Barbara said all these years and my many years of working with her, it still took 2 years to write. Yeah. And if the will wasn't there to stay with it on top of everything else, it probably would take 4 years to write.
Can you change your karma at the drop of a hat in an instant?
Not really.
Takes time, huh?
No, yeah. Because it's much more involved, and then you don't want to do that because you could be wrong. I think you have to give some thought to it.
Well, again, you know, if I stole $1,000 from somebody and I'm making, you know, $10 an hour, I can't pay it back in an hour.
No.
You know, so I have to, in other words, you have to pay it back in the measure. Now, for example, the big severe karma of murder, why is that such a heavy karma to bear? Well, of course, we think, oh, you're killing, you're extinguishing a life. Well, but you're not. The soul is still going on. But what you are doing is you've denied that person the privilege of working their karma and fulfilling their destiny. So not only do you have to work out the karma of what caused you to kill that person, you take on their karma because now it becomes your job to help them fulfill the destiny that you robbed them of.
Exactly.
And that's not going to happen overnight. So people will spend a lifetime, you know, you see some people doing just, you know, incredible patience and things with other people, and that somewhere they know I'm working out this karma. I'm helping to balance the slate and, you know, learning the important lesson that it's not a great idea to kill somebody.
What about people who obviously have demons in them? I mean, they're self-destructive. The Hollywood actor got caught in a New York hotel, trashed it, foaming from the mouth. I'm not going to mention his name.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy's obviously got demons.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they get rid of them? I mean, why are they so self-destructive?
The demons?
These people.
Oh, these people. Well, if they're being influenced, then they're not fully in control of what they're doing.
Well, if they have demons, the demons have them very strongly possessed, and there's a lot of danger to that. Now, you see, I send out the white light through the house and above because there are people in their astral bodies that are floating around, and they can come into your house astrally.
Without meaning to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes it's just if they see the most important thing, the most valuable thing that we possess is not our money, is not our fame, our fortune, our good looks.
Uh-huh.
It's the spiritual light that we've earned. That's the passport to eternity, is how much spiritual power we built up. And so these lowly entities, they have forfeited that light.
Right.
So they have to steal it. They have to take it from other people.
But they take it from the weak, don't they?
Well, they take it from whoever they can seduce, whoever they can trick.
The most important thing you possess is the light, and that's your passport out of here.
Yeah. So, and they know that. So they will. But sometimes they'll, you know, even the Bible says they'll deceive the very elect. Sometimes they trick the smart ones.
All right. Well, you two stick around. We're going to take phone calls in just a moment, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Questions about reincarnation, karma, auras. Also, though, if you've got a story you want to share on things that you've gone through in your life that you want to tell us about, that's next on Coast to Coast AM.